Praise the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing today? If you're blessed, just wave your hand. Amen. Blessed in the house, blessed to be, amen, able to come and to be with the saints on today. Amen. Good to see you, Michelle. Amen. God bless you. Amen. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Amen. Go for the Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you right now for who you are. Lord, for your goodness and your grace over our lives, God. How you continue to make ways. Lord, how you continue to keep us. Lord, even when we're not mindful of ourselves, God, you're yet there watching over us, God. And we thank you. We just want to take a moment this morning to say we thank you, God. Thank you. We love you, God, for loving us. Even when we were unlovable to the world, God, you loved us. And we thank you right now, Lord. And we ask you to continue to draw us nearer unto you, Lord, each and every day, each and every step, Lord. We want to know you in spirit and in truth. Lord, so speak to our hearts today. Speak to our minds, God. Help us, Lord, to make a decision to drive in deeper, God, to draw closer. Hallelujah. Lend our ear unto what your spirit is saying unto the church. Lord, that we may be all that you want us to be. Lord, not striving to please man, God, but striving to be acceptable in your sight. For you already died for us, God. You already made a way. All we need to do is accept it, God, and walk in your ways. We thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Thank you. We praise you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, sometimes I feel like we can be so comfortable that we forget it's His grace. Amen. Amen. It's His grace that allows us to go from point A to point B. It's His grace that allows us to wake up in the morning, amen, and things still be in place, amen. It's His grace that gives us strength to get through the difficult times in life. It's His grace, amen, that sees us through each and every day. Right. Amen. And what am I saying? Just that we must always continually be thankful. Amen. Good to see everyone that's here this morning. We're praying for those that couldn't make it. Hallelujah. Unable to be here. Amen. We thank God for those that watch online. Amen. And just that God would speak to each one of our hearts. Amen. You know, it's a great day to praise God. Amen. You know, he said, "What? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise you the Lord, amen." And I just want to take a moment to acknowledge those who this last Sunday we wrapped up our 21-day fast, amen. And I acknowledge those who joined us in that fast. And I pray that, you know, and I want to encourage you to grab hold of what you gain. Because I know you can't go through this fast doing it as unto God and doing it right, any kind of fast, and not gain some ground. So, because the fast is over, don't lose ground. Amen. Grab hold. Continue to dig in. Hold on. Amen. Take some elements of that time and what you gained and what the Lord showed you about you during that time frame. Hold on to that and dig in deeper with it. Draw closer to Him. Amen. Because I want to get closer to God every day. Amen. Don't think I ain't got work to do. Just because I'm up here. Amen. We still dealing with this wretched flesh. Amen. We still in this fallen world. Man, and we gotta keep doing the work. Otherwise, the enemy will rise up in this. And sometimes we blame everything on the devil, but sometimes it's just our flesh rising up. It's just the enemy in us that wants to have his way. Amen. And you gotta learn to do like Paul said. You say, I keep my body under. I buffet my body. Amen. He said, I afflict my soul with fasting. In other words, you got to take charge of this thing, amen, in order that you might be able to overcome, amen. So let's do the work. Let's keep doing the work, amen. Grab those things. Hold on to them. And remember our focus, amen. It's time to do. But you know what? It begins with doing the work in ourselves and for ourselves that we can grow and that we can be who God wants us to be, amen. So we're going to go ahead and release our children. Now that I got my soliloquy out of the way, amen, we release them, amen, to their classes. Hallelujah. Thank God for the instructors. Go back with the children, amen, and pour into them. Teens also, amen. Teens are children, right? I'm still a child. Amen. I like to think I'm a child of God, right? We all children. No. But amen. We thank God for all of them. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we got to continue to build our spiritual strength and our focus in Him. Amen. And, you know, as we talk about building, amen, remember our theme, our focus for this year is what? Time to do. Amen. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, there's one reality that we need to look at, amen, and when we talk about doing, and as I said, we got to begin with ourselves, but in that reality, you know, we'll face the fact that there's many in the body of Christ, amen, who don't know how to build, amen, don't have a full understanding or have not been fully equipped, amen, to do the work that God wants us to do. And there's many different ways that can be parsed out, but we want to begin, amen, today we're going to start a series in the book of Acts, amen, you know, because Acts immediately follows the four Gospels, amen, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, amen, and as we begin to see, okay, after they seen the life of Christ, then they begin to do the work, amen, and today we're going to come with you the first installment, amen, in the book of Acts, and it's called The Last Command. Last command. Someone say, well, what was the last command? Well, we're going to get to that. Just hold your horses, amen. We're going to get there, amen. But truly, we want everybody to be equipped, amen. And sometimes, you know, we forget what we got on board. And so we may need to be reminded, amen, or to have it stirred up in us, as Paul, I believe, paid over Timothy, to stir up the gifts that's within him, amen, to do the work of ministry. You know, so as we look back, amen, and as we begin to dig into this book, amen, we need to go back, amen, to take a look at how we got there. Right. You know, and as we go through this series, amen, we're going to be dealing with the book of Acts, even in our Bible studies on Wednesdays. Amen. So it's going to be all encompassing. So I highly encourage you to come out, amen, on Wednesday night. Amen, because that's when we're going to do some deep digging, amen, and that's where you can get involved, amen, and ask your questions and share your thoughts and your comments and get questions answered, amen, and together, amen, we get a deeper understanding, amen, of what's going on in the book of Acts and what's going on and what God would like to see happening in his church, amen, who he's called us to be. So come on out, 6:30, we our goal is to get you in and get you out no later than 8 o'clock. Amen. It's our target. I think we do pretty good on that. What do y'all think? Yes, amen. We do pretty good on getting everybody out of here. Amen. Even though there's so much still left on the table when we leave. Amen. Sometimes it's kind of hard to stop. But we try to respect the time. Amen. So come on out and join us. Amen. And be a part of our Bible study conversation. Amen. But like I said, before we get too far into that book, you know, I want to give us a little background, amen, into the book of Acts. You know, one thing, so that we can appreciate what's happening in Acts more, you know, because I think about, you know, you can appreciate, how many of us like good music, classical music?
Yes.
Classical music, amen. And anybody familiar with Beethoven?
Oh, yes.
Amen. He was one of the greats. Amen. But one thing many people don't know is that from a young man, he was struggling with decreasing vision. I mean, he could not see. I mean, His hearing. I said vision. There's nothing wrong with my vision. Amen. But he couldn't hear. His ability to hear was diminishing more and more every year. But that didn't stop him. He kept on composing. I mean, even most of his greatest works were written after he was totally deaf. You know, knowing that, now you can appreciate his music even more. Because understand, this man wrote this and he couldn't even hear what he was writing. But the deal is, he could hear it in his head. Amen. So he didn't just rely on his external senses. Amen. And he was able to write some beautiful music. Amen. So when we hear that music, just imagine, man, we have a hard time writing it, you know, listening to every note two or three times, you know, play that over again, play that, you know, make sure. But he wrote it, amen. And after he wrote it, he couldn't enjoy the melody with his ears. Amen. So what am I saying? Amen. The more we understand about the Bible and how it works and how things fit together, the more we appreciate, amen, what's happening along the way. You know, so we want to take a look, amen, at, you know, some of the background and the order, amen, as we were approaching, because if we're going to deal with the book of Acts, I want us to have a greater appreciation of the book of Acts, amen, how it came to be. You know, the Bible was put together in certain ways. You look at the New Testament, amen, you got basically three portions of the Bible, amen. You got the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you got the book of Acts, and then you have all the epistles, amen, which are the letters to the churches, amen. And the final one, obviously, of Revelation, the letter to the churches, amen. So we look at how it's put together, but without the book of Acts, it would be hard to connect the epistles to the Gospels. It is the linchpin that holds it all together and helps us to understand what the apostles did and why they did what they did. It helps us to understand the letters they wrote and why they wrote those letters. Amen. So we see the strategy, just as in the Old Testament, you look at, you know, the Pentateuch, amen, or the Torah, as many call it, amen, the books of the law, amen, the first five books of the Old Testament. Then you have the prophets, the minor prophets, the major prophets, the letters of ascent. All of that comes together in certain ways. So as we look here, amen, we're going to take just a quick stroll through the closing of the Gospels, amen, as they're pointing us to the book of Acts, amen, to help us understand what was really going on. Sometimes the book of Acts is actually called the fifth gospel, amen, and we'll see why as we go along, amen. But Luke, amen, has been credited, you know, and recognized that he is the author of the book of Acts. You know, many times people have asked me over the years, you know, well, how do I start reading the Bible? Where should I start? You know, I tell them, don't start with Matthew. Right, right, right. Amen. Don't start in Genesis. Amen. Start with Luke, Acts, as I call it. Read the book of Luke, followed by the book of Acts. Why? Because they're both written by the same author. You have the same structure. You have the same writing style. You have the same details, that because Luke was a physician, so he was very detailed in his account. He did much research, and he was very detailed in his account. One thing that's interesting, many people may not understand, is that Luke was not one of the apostles. Amen. But he traveled extensively with the Apostle Paul, and he saw a lot of the things that took place firsthand. He kind of had a front row seat, amen, and being a man of detail, and then he did his work, his research, and in order to write this book and put it together. It was very interesting. You know, but one of the other interesting things about his book is that they were both addressed to one individual, Most Excellent Theophilus. Amen. I said, who was Theophilus that Luke would be writing unto him? He wrote both letters, and he addressed both letters, amen, in their prequel to Theophilus, amen. And, you know, it's really hasn't been determined who he was, but there's a lot of conjecture out there of who he was, a close friend, a student, or maybe he was the magistrate that sat on Paul's, you know, court, amen, amen, when he was going to court in Rome. And these letters were actually, you know, legal briefs to prove that that the Christians weren't a threat to the Roman government. And so whatever it was, he addressed them to Theophilus, and we get the benefit thereof. Amen. And if you start off reading Luke, Acts, as I like to call it, amen, then you have already read over a quarter of the New Testament. Because those two books, they're the most extensive books in the New Testament, and they cover 27% of the New Testament. So you've already knocked out a quarter of the New Testament just by reading that. So you're on your way. You're making good progress. You know, so as we look at him, amen, and his writing, amen, as a physician, you know, doctors are typically detailed in everything they do. Amen. We know there's always exceptions. Some say, I don't know about so-and-so. But, you know, doctors are good. Amen. Even back then, when they didn't have the type of medicine, they usually, any old body didn't run around trying to be a doctor. Amen. Because that was a lot of work, a lot of challenge. You had to have a lot of understanding, or you'd be messing people up. People get mad at you. Now you on the hit list, everybody. And next thing you know, you don't want to mess around playing like a doctor. Amen. So we look at him, amen. So he was a close friend, amen. But he rode shotgun, and he saw a lot of things, amen. He was there with Paul through it all. But he did not know Christ. He came along afterward, amen. And he began to see. So as we see these things, amen, we'll begin to understand. But as we look, amen, because once you finish reading Luke, Acts, then you go back to Matthew, Mark, and John and fill in the gaps of all the other three witnesses. You know, so as we look, amen, at this, I want to go back and help us to see, starting in the book of Matthew, amen, because Jesus had came to a place and he was telling his disciples what to do, amen, as he was departing. At the end of each book, he was giving them instructions on what they needed to do as he was leaving. You know, one thing I was thinking about even last night, you know, if I was going to go on a long journey, and I've made a few, amen, before I leave, I make sure I tell people what's important. This needs to be done. This needs to be covered. That needs to be taken care of, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. I think any of us, amen, if we're going anywhere, we're going to tell somebody what needs to be covered, what needs to be taken care of. And, you know, I look at the, I titled this one The Last Command, because we're going to look at the last thing Jesus was telling them to do. Amen. Before he departed for his final ascension, after he had risen and spent 40 days, you know, with the people, 40 days showing himself, you know, not hiding, but out loud, showing himself, y'all already killed me, what else are you going to do? You know, so he's showing himself all over town. He's hanging out with the disciples and teaching them and telling them more things. He, at one point, he showed himself to over 500 people at one time. So it wasn't one person having a vision. But man, there was enough live eyewitnesses that saw him after he was alive to prove that he did rise from the dead. You know, so he made those things on purpose. Amen. And then he began to tell them and give them instruction. And realizing that at the time he left, the disciples had spent, you know, roughly 3 years with him under his tutelage. The 12, and not just the 12, but others, but he chose the 12 to make them the apostles, amen, for a specific reason, which we won't go into right now. But he chose them, and he walked with them, and he instructed them, and he gave them, and they got to see the miracles, and they got to see, you know, how he dealt with trouble, and he got to see his weeping, and they got to see all these things about him. Amen. So they had a pretty good feeling of who Jesus was. Amen. And then, you know, even when he was arrested and taken away, now I'm giving you all this for a reason. He was arrested and taken away, their humanness showed up, because what did they do? They ran and they hid. Oftentimes we look at the fact that Judas was betrayed him and went and told, but when you stop and think about it, they all ran. They hid. After they crucified him, they were hiding out for fear of the Jews. Amen. Thinking they're going to come get them next. Peter betrayed him outright by denying him 3 times the night he was arrested. In earshot. I don't know him. I'm not one of them. At one point, he even started cursing to prove he wasn't one of them. You know, so, I mean, this is disciples that spent this. So what happened is fear came on board. All this time, they're thinking, okay, this is the Messiah. He's going to rise up. He's going to turn things around. We're going to overthrow the Romans, and we're going to rise up, and we're going to be in charge. But that wasn't his plan. He had a whole different plan, and as it began to unfold, he was telling them things before they happened so they could see what was happening when they began to happen. He said, these are the things you told us about. So he had a purpose and a plan in everything he did. Amen. So let's look at this beginning at Matthew 28 and 16 in the book of Matthew. As he was closing up, amen, Matthew was ending it up. This is what Jesus said. And starting at the 16th verse, it said, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now notice, even now, some of them are still doubting. Amen. And Jesus came and said unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, he gave them instructions to go and what? To preach the gospel. Amen. To be the witnesses. Amen. To go and do these things. He said, you know, and preach the gospel to every creature. He wanted them to do the work. And he said to teach them baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So he's giving them instructions. This is Matthew caught that portion. Amen. See, and one thing I love about the gospels, that's why I say you fill in the gaps. Because when you put all four together, you can get a whole view of the conversation he had with them that day. You know, one gets this point and records it. One gets the other point and records it. The other one. And when you put it all together, you have a much clearer view of what was really told them overall. But he gave them instructions. Then we go to Mark, the 16th chapter, starting at verse number 14. He said, afterward he appeared unto the 11. It's the same time, but recorded by a different writer, unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. He had walked down the road and met up with two of the disciples as they were walking, and he just walked up and started talking with them, but they didn't recognize who he was because he didn't allow it at that moment. And he just began to talk. They had a little conversation, and then he revealed himself to them when he broke bread with them. And then they ran and they told the other disciples, we've seen the Lord. But the other ones said, we don't believe that. Not unless we see it ourselves, you know. So this is why he was getting on them. He was upbraiding them. In other words, he chastised them because of their unbelief. You know, why didn't you believe? Because why? Look what he says. Amen. After his writing, verse number 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, and he's dealing with baptism again, shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, we could spend all day just talking about that verse. Well, you don't have the time to do that, right? That's why, come to the Bible study, we'll parse all that out. We'll, you know, all that out. But then we go into verse number 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, yes, he was received up into heaven, uh-huh, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. We got signs following? We're looking for some. We need some, amen. We've seen some, amen, but we want more. Isn't that right? And not for our benefit, amen, but for the glory of God, amen, for the witness of Christ. Amen. For his power and authority, the operating of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The authority that he's given us, the restoration he's given us as his people in the earth. Amen. And then we look at John's closing, amen, statement. Amen. It wasn't in the last chapter, but in the 20th chapter. Because I'll touch on that in a moment. But in John 20, 21 to 23, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. Why is he saying peace? Amen. As the Lord has sent me, even so send I you. Now notice, he's speaking to them, but he's talking to us too. Amen. He's sending them. He sent us. He didn't just save us. He wants to send us. All right? Amen. It's not good enough just to be saved. Right? You want to be sent. You know, so you know, it's different between being sent and those that went. You know, some went and they weren't sent. You know, they didn't get no. But see, we want to be sent. Amen. So, and I look at this, peace be unto you. Why? Because he showed up in the midst of the room when they were saying, well, we're not going to believe this. And we, you know, but he shows up while they were having that discussion. He shows up in the room with the door was already locked. How'd he get in the room? He just appeared in the room. And they got afraid. They thought it was a spirit. And that's why he said, peace be unto you. And he asked him, and we'll see in here in a moment. But, you know, I look at this. If God showed up, if Jesus showed up at your house, what would you do? Would you be afraid? I'll be honest with you. If I'm sitting in my living room talking to my wife and someone just appears in the room, I'm not going to be just, hey, how you doing? I think it would startle the best of us. Amen. Especially when we're unexpected. But see, the thing I'm looking at here is they had been with him. They seen him. Yes. They watched him get crucified. Yes. They recognized him. You know, now you and I, we don't know what he looked like. All we know is pictures that we've seen all our lives, all manner of pictures we've seen. You know, all we know is the characters that have played Jesus in the movies, but that's not Jesus. So we don't know what he looked like. Amen. We know he was Jewish, but Jesus, he is Jewish. Not just was, he is. He rose again. But, you know, so, that's about all we really know about him. Amen. But other than that, if he showed up, walked in the door, we wouldn't really know who he was in the natural. But you know what? I bet there would be a spiritual connection. There'd be a different spiritual connection. Amen. So we look at this. Amen. But he told them, amen. And he said, whatsoever sins you remit. I missed the 22nd verse because I stopped on the sin. 22 says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. Everything he did was important. And saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins, whosoever. So see, he said, in Matthew, he said, all power is given unto me. So he said, go ye therefore. What is he saying? It's been given unto me. I'm with you. Therefore, you have access to all power. And when he's saying this, he's saying, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Amen. In other words, we have the authority to bind and to loose things in the earth. There's another place I can show you that. Amen. But it's up to us. But when we look at these books, amen, you know, we see different things being said, but it's all part of the same conversation, the same time that's happening. And it's important because sometimes we may think it's different things, but all these correlate together. Amen. And even as I was saying in the book of John, he didn't wrap it up in the last chapter because he had two more things that he had to do before he ascended up. And one, amen, he wanted to go and restore Peter. You know, so after he talked to them, he sought Peter and he pulled Peter aside, and because he told them to meet me here, Peter also. But then he took time after the conversation and he dealt directly with Peter. And that's when he asked Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Why did he ask him three times? Because Peter had denied him three times. So he restored him back to let him know, I still love you. I still want to use you. Amen. And God gives us more than one opportunity to get it right. Isn't that right? Amen. Because I know we done failed more than three times. Well, me, I just talk about me. Okay, I'm not talking about y'all. I don't know nothing about y'all. But maybe it's just me. But he restored me more times than I like to think about. Amen. So I thank God, amen, because he lets us know in that action, amen, that he will, though we may fall, though we may take choices, we don't deny him with our mouth. But we not deny him by our actions. And yet, he wants to restore us. Amen. So he wants to make sure that's right. And the other thing that he did, amen, is he wanted to deal with the doubter. You know, because Thomas, amen, we call him Doubting Thomas, but he denied Christ. Amen. He doubted that he was, no, I won't believe until. How many of you ever said that in so many words? About I ain't going to believe it till I see it myself. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe it take all that. You know, so he had to deal with the doubter, and when he did, he said, come. And when Thomas said it, he wasn't even there. But when he came, one of the first things that he called Thomas aside. He said, come on, Thomas, put your fingers right here. Put your finger in the holes in my hand. Put your hand in my side. Amen. So he had to restore. He heard what he said. Unless I see the nail prints in his hands and put my finger in his side, I won't believe. So the Lord dealt with exactly what he said. Right. And then what did Thomas say after that? My Lord and my God. Okay, see, sometimes we need a little proof. And he understands that because we're human, right? And we deal with those things. So after he dealt with those things, we look at the closing narratives of these three, but there's one missing that we haven't dealt with. And that's the one that we want to deal with, because he kind of, you know, again, Luke goes into a whole lot more detail of what was done and what was said. Amen. And that's why his book is so extensive, both the book of Acts and the book of Luke. Amen. So he began to work on the details. Amen. And he wants us to understand what was going on fully. You know, so when we go to Luke, the 24th chapter, amen. It's interesting. And we begin at verse number 44. He says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. I love that verse. Because oftentimes we feel like, I can't understand it. I can't get it. You know this. But Jesus took the time as he was speaking to them. They had, and notice, he wasn't talking about the New Testament. They were living the New Testament. But when he opened their understanding so they could understand the old scrolls, the old scriptures that they had to teach from, the old scrolls that they read, Isaiah and all those scrolls, he opened their understanding so they could understand it. And what was that? So as they began to see it, they could see Jesus. They could see his coming, his resurrection, all those things. You can see them in the Old Testament if you understand what's going on. So he opened up their understanding so they would understand. And if he did it for them, he'll do it for us. Yeah. Amen. All we got to do is ask him, Lord, help my understanding. When you get ready to read your scripture, help me to understand this. Open my understanding. Help me. And he'll do it. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Another key point. Another key point, that remission of sins. And what he said, it must begin at Jerusalem. Why is it important? Why had to begin at Jerusalem? Because that was his chosen people. That was their nation. Amen. That's where he came. And when he comes back, he's coming back to Jerusalem. Amen. Don't think God has written the Jews off. Mm-mm. In fact, back in his day, in most of the old New Testament, most of the people, most of the converts there were Jewish Christians. Jewish converts, amen, who had changed from Judaism to Christianity. Secret that's been kept from the church a long time is that Christianity began as a Jewish faith. Sometimes we feel like, well, they missed it. No, they didn't miss it. God had a reason and a purpose, because if they had grabbed it, we might not have had the opportunity. Amen. But when they chose to shift and go back to Judaism, amen, then he opened the door to the Gentiles, which is you and I, amen, non-Jewish people, that we might be able to come in. But at the same time, that was a part of his plan. Romans tells us, amen, that he blinded the eyes of the Jews, amen, and that there's coming a time when their eyes are going to be opened, amen, and all the Jews, it says in Romans, shall be saved. And at that time, the opportunity for the Gentiles will come to an end. So it's time to get in before the door is closed. Amen. See, so but it had to begin at Jerusalem because that is his focal point on earth. Amen. That is the holy city unto this day. And let us not forget. Amen. They were the original. We were the ones engrafted in. Amen. Amen. So we say, thank God. Amen. He had a purpose for us. But it began at Jerusalem because it was God's plan all along to use the Jews as the catalyst to get the gospel to the whole world. But there was a little hiccup there, but he's still doing what he needed to do. Amen. And then we look at verse number 48. Amen. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send, hear what he's saying. Behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. Now, none of the others mentioned the fact that he told them to go to Jerusalem. They said, he said, go and we did this and we did that because they didn't take the time to put that part in the conversation. But he told them, let me say that again. Amen. But tarry, that means to wait. Go and wait. Why are you tarrying? Why are you taking your time? But he said, no, to go and to wait in the city of Jerusalem, amen, until you be endued or empowered, amen, you be filled or overflowed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now that right there would have been enough for me. So whatever you say, Lord. You know, that would have been enough, right? It said, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now, you see, they all come, when you put all that together, you see, he gave them the commission, he gave them instruction, but the key element was don't go anywhere until. So the last command was to go to Jerusalem and wait till you receive the Holy Spirit. We're going to dig into that a little bit deeper. It's the last command before he was taken up before them. Say, don't. In other words, he's telling them, don't try to do this on your own. Now, y'all seen all these great miracles and wonders, and you seen the power, and you seen all this, and you're excited. You see, I'm risen from the dead, and I'm walking, amen, and you've seen the nail scars, and you've seen the hole in my side, and you've seen all these things, amen. You are fully convinced, and you're ready to go, but wait until you have the power from on high. See, we'd have been ready to go and tell everybody everything right then, huh? It'd be pew, gone. But he said, slow your roll. You need some help. Yes. Amen? And that's the thing. So as we look at that, this is how they all ended up pointing us right to the book of Acts. Now, Acts really means the actions of the apostles. Things they did following the instruction, their walk with Jesus and their instructions from him, these are the actions of the apostles, amen, the things that they did because of that encounter. And you know, they were charged up and they were ready to go, but once they got the Holy Spirit, now goodness. So let's pick up in Acts, and I'm going to read a portion of that. Now, like I said, this is, you know, more teaching than preaching because I want us to get foundation, amen, and remind and stir up. Amen. So we'll start, amen, Acts 1, amen, verse 1, amen, just to see, just kind of lay this foundation, because this is what we're going to build on through the rest of the series, amen, is this understanding that I want to get into us today. He said, these former theses have I made, O Theophilus, Now, if you read his first letter in the book of Luke, when he addressed Theophilus, he said, "Oh, most excellent Theophilus," which is a title, amen. But see, when you get closer to somebody, you can drop the titles.
Come on now.
You know, so when Theophilus read the book of Luke, amen, you know, it said that was brought a conversion in his life, amen. So he began to get closer. Now, him and Luke have a relationship, but yet he's still writing the letter to him, amen. So it said, "Oh, Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach," notice he was a doer. I got any doers in the house?
Come on.
Come on. "To do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion." His passion means his crucifixion. Amen. "After his crucifixion, by many infallible proofs." Infallible proofs showing, look at the hands. Give me some honeycomb. Let me eat with you. Let me talk with you. Showing himself to 500 people. He proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was risen.
Right.
And that's what he said. "Any infallible proofs being sent," amen, "of them 40 days, seen of them, of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Now, notice, I love this. He didn't come back talking about himself. He came back talking about the kingdom. Right? "And being assembled together with them, commanded them," the last command, "that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'Ye have heard of me.' For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." In other words, not many days from now. And what was he saying? It was coming, because notice, he spent 40 days. Jesus was crucified the day before the Passover. And that's why they were in a hurry to get him off the cross. This is why they asked, okay, can we break the bones? Because sometimes they would last over through the night. So, but if they broke the shins and the leg bones, they couldn't push themselves up on the cross to grab a breath, because crucifixion literally suffocates you. Amen. The weight of your body, you can't breathe. So by breaking the bones of him and the malefactors, then they can't raise themselves up and they would die faster. That's why they wanted to break the bones. But when they came to Jesus, he was already gone, because then that fulfilled the prophecy that not a single bone in his body would be broken. But that's another story. So we see, amen, he said that not many days from now, you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You receive the Holy Ghost baptized. What's it mean to be baptized? Immersed in, covered with, amen. And see, so we're looking at this, amen. "And when they therefore were come together, they asked him and said, 'Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of heaven?'" See, they weren't quite understanding what he was saying. He said, okay, we're going to go there, and you're going to meet us there, and you're going to restore the kingdom. In other words, they're expecting him to come back, amen, and he's going to overthrow the government, amen, and he's going to lead an army, and now they're going to restore the kingdom, which the Jews lost because of their rebellion many, many years before, amen, and found themselves in, you know, being cast aside. But he's saying, "Will you restore the kingdom so that we can rule and reign again and not be under the authority of the Romans?" This is what they were thinking, a natural kingdom, you know. "And he said unto them, 'It is not for you to know the things or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power.'"
All right.
He said, "That's not your business yet. You just do what I'm telling you to do," in other words. But the eighth verse, he said, "But you shall receive power." Say, don't worry about what's in his power. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." He said, if you just go there, amen, you'll receive power. He didn't say it before, but after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. And now you can be my witnesses. And you stop and think. All of the disciples, all 12 of the apostles, did not fail in their task. From that time forward, from Pentecost on, which we're going to get into here in a minute, they went forward and they did the work through the persecutions, through the trials and the testings, through the shipwrecks and all those things, amen, because they had something on board that empowered them more than the flesh could empower itself. That's why he told them, don't do it on your own, because if you go out on your own, they're going to take you out. You go on your own, but you need power. You see, and this power is going to empower you to do more, amen, than you can even begin to realize. Amen. So he was letting them know, don't do it. But when you receive power, then you can be my witnesses both. And see, we wanna do the work of the kingdom. We wanna expand the kingdom of God. Amen. And what do we say that expanding really means? It's not buildings. Amen. The expanding of the kingdom is reaching souls. Amen. Drawing people in, showing people the love of God, showing them how much God loves them, leading them to salvation, helping them to understand that this is the only way out of this crazy world that we live in. Amen. So we want to expand the kingdom in the hearts of men and women. Amen. And that means when you have the power on board, you can deal with the rejection. You can deal with the persecution. You can deal with people not liking you. You can deal with people talking about you. Amen. Because you know it's not about you. They're talking about what you believe, but what you believe is the truth. Amen. And what they say is not going to bother you because you know you're standing on a firm foundation. You know, when you begin to look at the lives of the 12, amen, all of them died martyrs' deaths except one. Amen. They died for what they believed. And why? How could they do that? Not in their human strength. Not in their human ability. You know, so when we talk to people, have you talked to anybody, shared the gospel? I'm afraid they're going to. Maybe you don't say it, but we're timid. We're fearful, amen, to share the gospel because we don't have the power. If you got the power, you're not tapping into the power. Amen, because you're still scared to be rejected. You're still scared you're going to lose a friend. You think you're scared they might fire you if you talk about the goodness of the Lord. See, you're walking in fear because you don't have the power, amen, knowing that it's not about you. So he said, we need the operation, the power, and the authority of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the Bible tells us that these 12 men turned the then known world upside down. 12 of them. And we got how many Christians today running around in our country, our world, amen, all around us is a mess. Amen. Christians are running in the closet by everything else is running out. Because we're not walking in the power, amen, that God has given us to walk in. Amen. And because of that, instead of the kingdom being expanded, it's shrinking. People are walking away from Christianity. People are going, turning to other religions. They're giving up altogether because they haven't, like I said in the beginning, they don't understand, and maybe they haven't been taught, amen, the power that we have as his people, amen, to stand persecution, to stand through trials and tribulations, to stand and yet proclaim the gospel.
That's right.
Yet proclaim the gospel. Get it out of the woe is me syndrome. No, no, no. If you're saved, if you got the Holy Spirit on board, there ain't no woe. Amen. Is you.
Amen.
You should be the one making everybody else say woe.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because of who you are, amen, when you understand who you are. Ninth verse, he said, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up, and the cloud received them out of their sight. Same conversation as the other three gospels. Same conversation, and that he's given us more and more details. What do we see? Luke left off there, and he picked up right where he left off, right in the beginning. He said, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up, ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. In other words, just like you see him going, he's going to come back.
That's right. Thank you, Jesus.
See, you looking up, but now you need to get to work.
That's right.
See, he's coming back in the same way. He said, then they returned into Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, about a seventh day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room. And there abode with Peter and James and John and Matthew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James, not Judas the betrayer.
Amen.
Okay, there were more than one Judas. Amen. And all these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren.
Yeah.
He did it all. Amen. They got it. They went to Jerusalem, and they began to wait. Well, how long did they wait? Amen. Well, he was crucified the day before Passover. Passover, the final of the Passover, begins the countdown towards Pentecost. Right? So he was crucified, and that's one of the reasons the Jews came and told him the day after Pentecost. They went to Caesar and said, well, you need to put guards on the tomb, because he said he was going to raise up the third day, and we want to make sure nobody goes and steals the body.
Come on,
you know, and then that whole story took place, amen, and they weren't able to stop nothing from happening. Jesus got up anyway. But then after his crucifixion, he came back and spent 40 days.
Come on now.
Right? So if 40 days passed, and Pentecost literally means 50th. Amen. So that would be the 50th day. So they, between the time he was in the grave and the 40 days he walked with them, they only had about a week to wait. So they went into the upper room. They spent a week in prayer and fasting and waiting on him. Amen. And then when we get on down, amen, I'm not going to go there today because I don't have time. Amen. But then we get down into the second chapter of Acts. We see what happened on that day. Amen. But right now, I just want us to lay this foundation, because we're going to dig. And we're going to see what thus said the word of God. Amen. But understanding the transition, how we got to Pentecost, how we got to the upper room, how, why they were there, and what Jesus had told them. They knew what the mission was, but they weren't released until they got the commission to go. And that wouldn't come until they received the power. It's like the military saying, we're going to Afghanistan, but you ain't got the resources yet. You know the plan, you know the mission, but it ain't time to go yet until they release the resources. And our resource, our greatest resource, is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's not our knowledge.
That's right. Come on,
amen. It's not our physical ability. It's none of our greatest resource is the Holy Spirit. And I want us to begin to understand that and to tap into the Holy Spirit, so that when we're dealing, we're first and foremost with ourselves. The enemy in me. Keeping this flesh under subjection, honoring God, amen, worshiping him, putting him first. See, the Holy Spirit got to take control of you first. It's got to get you to say yes first, amen. It's crazy, amen. You're trying to help somebody else and you a mess. And they're looking at your life and say, what in the world you got to tell me? You know, and I'm saying that, but that's not to say someone can't tell you something that's right. They might be living like the craziest thing, but if they tell you God is good, they told you something right.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, but if we want to be effective in our witness, if we want to have a good witness without reproach, we need the Holy Spirit operating in us. And then when we begin to speak the truths, amen, they can peer into your life or into my life, amen, and see the demonstration of those truths operating on a daily basis. Like Jesus said, you know, they said about Jesus, he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Are we the same?
Lord Jesus.
Well, it depends on the circumstances. It depends on if they got on my nerves or not. It depends on if I'm hangry. Hello. So we got to get to a place to realize that external circumstances don't determine my response to anything. It's the Holy Spirit in me that determines my response to everything. And if we work like that, but we gotta know that we know, amen, that we got him on board. Amen. And that he is in charge and we are not. We know how to call on. He said, I'm near you, even in your mind. Just calling on the name of Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. What did that thing Pastor Linda say? Active. See, someone know what I'm talking about. Holy Spirit, activate. Holy Spirit. Sometimes we just need to say activate because I need your help. Before we mess ourselves up. But he wants us to recognize he commanded them. The last thing he told them, don't go nowhere else. Don't do nothing else until you be empowered. And you shall receive. Then you can be my witnesses. Unto Jerusalem. That means their local city. And Samaria, their surrounding area. And to the othermost parts of the earth, the whole world. But you got to start at home.
That's right.
And Amen. Guess what? It starts there. But at home is probably the hardest place.
Amen.
It's easy to go and talk to somebody that, don't know. I mean, Jesus found that out when he went to his own home.
That's right. Amen.
Ain't this the carpenter's son? Ain't his sisters and his mother still with us today? You know, and because of their unbelief, they said he couldn't do any great miracles. All he could do was heal or heal sick folk. But he just got through raising the dead and you know, cleansing lepers and giving sight to the blind. He gets to his home and he can't do nothing but heal a cold or a runny nose because of their unbelief. And why am I saying this? Because you're going to be more challenged in your faith. Standing for your faith, walking in your faith, you're going to be more challenged with your relatives, with your friends that don't know God and some of them that do. You're going to be challenged more in your locality, people who know you. Especially if they knew you before. You know, Charlie, especially they knew you before you got saved. Man, get out of my face with that stuff. And see, that's when you got to be ready to stand because why? They're going to call you out, the old you, but it's up to you with the help of the Holy Ghost on the inside, amen, to show them the new you. Amen. And to allow him, amen, to order your steps, to word your mouth, amen, to order your mind. But that's why he said we need the power because we cannot do this on our own. Anybody in here ever had your faith rejected by a loved one? Let me see your hand. Close friends. It's in the room. I mean, just in our own travels, amen, we go different places, amen, and people who don't know us, don't know nothing about us, don't know nothing about living faith, amen, we've gotten so much honor and respect, and sometimes more than we get here.
That's it,
amen. Right? Y'all looking at me like crazy. I'm just telling you the truth. Because what they don't see Pastor David and his mistakes and the errors. And they don't know the background and the struggles and the troubles. And they don't know the marital issues that we made it through. All they see is the man of God. So they have to cut through all my minutia to get to what God has done. They just accept what God has done. See, and it's no different with you than it is with me. So that's why we need the Holy Spirit to just live and be who God wants us to be right where we are because people love to bring you back down to their level. They love to tell you what you aren't because of what you were, but you ain't no more. And you need to remember that that's not me. I don't need to defend myself. I don't need to fight. I don't need to prove nothing. All I need to do is walk it out in Jesus' name. And if I just do that, because he told me, amen, and I believed and I obeyed the final commandment. I didn't try to do a whole lot until the Holy Spirit came on board. Now you're something to reckon with.
Amen.
They can't call you out because you done told it all yourself. Huh? And you took it from a mess to a message. Amen. You turned it into a testimony for the glory of God. And what they're going to do with that? That's like taking all the blackmailer has on you and putting it out there on the internet. Now what you got? But we got to be ready to walk it out. Amen. And all the way we're going to do that, amen, is to activate the Holy Spirit. Receive, like he breathed on them. Receive the Holy Ghost. And we receive it. Now, we got to be ready to allow him to be in charge. Allow him to order our steps. Allow him to word our mouths. That's why so many times I'd be, Jesus, help me right now. Lord, there it is. Keep me near the cross. Huh? Why? Because this flesh, I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how well you know the Bible, Christian. I don't care how long and you how many scriptures you can quote from more than one version. If you don't stay in it, your flesh will rise. Because it is not dead. It may be subdued, and it should be subdued under authority, but it's not dead. And the minute you stop walking in authority and the word of God over your own flesh, you will surprise yourself. Sometimes you say, what? Did I say that? That's why when we take time to fast and to pray, he starts showing us some of the areas where we done got a little lax. Because we begin to get comfortable. Ain't no time to get comfortable in Christianity. The enemy is looking for any door he can get in. That's why we need the power. That's why we need the Holy Spirit active constantly in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, in our thoughts. Because anytime something tries to come in, he's going to say, watch it. Warning, warning, Will Robinson. He's going to let you know. Trouble's trying to come in. Don't go there. Don't say that. Don't give in to it. If you activate the Holy Spirit and allow him to have complete authority, amen. You know what? A lot of things we say we wouldn't even say.
Amen.
I'm just being real. Our conversations would begin to change. Amen. A lot of things would begin to change. Because why? When we love him and we know him like that, and we're walking with him like that, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
We don't want to grieve him. We want to be in. I'm saying we. I don't know about y'all all together, but I want to be in sweet fellowship. How about you? Stay in sweet fellowship with him. And see, one of the things is we need one another to make that happen. Because the Bible says, well, iron sharpens iron in Proverbs 27:17. It says, iron sharpens iron. Amen. We make each other better. Amen. Because why? Community is good. Amen. He don't want us to be no lone ranger out there, brothers. I say brothers because it's so much easier for the sisters to get together. Amen. But getting brothers together, you know, someone said like herding cats. You ever seen that? Going every which way. You know, but so we need to work on this because I need, what's that song we sang? I need you, you need me. I need y'all. Y'all make me better. Believe it or not, y'all make me better. And I hope I rub something off on you too. Amen. I think about a message Pastor Linda preached years ago. Amen. Talking about the agitation. The washing machine. Y'all remember that one? They're going to throw us all in the washing machine and we get clean by rubbing each other. Going through the different cycles, but we come out clean. We might need somebody to rub our shoulders, rub on us a little bit. Let some sparks fly so we can get rid of some of these rough edges. Amen. Let's stand. I'm going to leave y'all alone. Amen. But you don't want to miss, as we dig deeper, you want to be here for Bible study, because that's when, like I said, your questions can be answered. Amen. We can challenge each other with the word. Amen. And we can walk away with a greater understanding, because that's where sometimes sparks fly. Amen. But the reason behind it is so we can grow in him. Amen. And along with that, if anybody here needs to recommit their lives to him, or even give your life to him, today is a good day to do it. Amen. To make that step. Amen. To reunite yourself and know that you know that it's good with your soul. Amen. Anybody. Amen. And secondly, the Bible says those that are planted in the house shall flourish in the courts of our God. And if you don't have a church home, we invite you to come, amen, and be a part of Living Faith.
Amen.
To get on board, to bring your gifts and talents into the house. Amen. So we can grow together. Amen. We can be better together. Amen. We can do life together. Amen. As we walk this thing out. Amen. So that's you. Amen. We invite you to come. Amen. To be a part. If not, just keep living. Keep pressing. But don't stay out there too long without connecting. Amen. Because that covering and that connection means a whole lot. Amen. As we grow in Christ. God has given us all gifts and talents for the body. Amen. And we would love, amen, to continue to grow those. That's one thing we were talking about the last couple of weeks, is tapping into the gifts and the talents that's in the body, so that we can be able to accomplish more for the kingdom. We don't want to hold nobody back. Amen. We want to push you forward. We want to stir up the gifts. Amen. And make them available to profit with all. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Not let's pray. I just want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we go through this week, speak to our hearts. Lord, search us that we might know your ways, God. Help us, Lord, to have a desire to be able to be about your business. Let us not be so consumed or burdened or overwhelmed or busy that we don't make time for you.
Lord, Jesus.
Lord, we want to be those that are the light and the salt in the earth. We want to be those, Lord, that are a part of expanding your kingdom, God, a part of being the witnesses, God, that you said we would be. We want to be those, Lord, that are operating at full capacity for your kingdom. Lord, help us, Lord, to inquire of the Holy Ghost, Lord, and examine ourselves, Lord, and see how much are we yielding to the Holy Ghost. Or if we be like some that we'll talk about soon, is whether we know there be any Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord, to search the scriptures, to find you, to know you, Lord, as we dig deeper and deeper into your word. Lord, don't let our time just coming to church be all there is, Lord, but help us to be transformed. Help us to be renewed. Help us to align our thoughts and our focus, our goals and our desires with your will and not just our own. We need you, God. We need you. You said that we are your body.
Yes.
Your word said we are no more our own, but we've been bought with a price.
Yes.
Help us to surrender to you, God, who holds the authority over our lives. Help us to surrender to you, hallelujah, who knows the thoughts and the plans that you have for us individually and collectively. Help us, Lord, to say, I surrender all. I give all unto you. Hallelujah. And as I seek you, God, as I follow your ways, Lord, you said that you would supply all of my needs. Lord, but I'm not just coming to you for needs, God. I'm coming to you because I love you, God. I'm coming to you because I believe in your plan, your goal, and your mission. I come to you, God, to be a part of what it is that you're doing. So I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, you will stir our hearts and our minds today and every day. Let every day be a God day. Every day, hallelujah. Let us incline our ear to hear what your Spirit is saying unto the church. Let us not just launch out on our own. But what would you have me to do today? Order my steps today. Word my mouth today. Hallelujah. Cover my ears, Lord. Open my eyes. Order my thoughts. Help us right now, Lord, to be who you've called us to be. I pray your blessings over each and every one, God, as we strive to get closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.